Blog Talk Radio.
We got to keep the truth in our heart, day by day, step by step, moment by moment. We're living in moment by moment time. Amen, amen. Well, hello out there. Good late evening to each and every one out in Blog Talk Radio Land. God bless each and every one of you. Let's go ahead and get started today with our scriptures going to be coming out of the 2 Timothy 3. And let's go ahead and get started. I hope you have your sword with you. Always have your sword, not just for the broadcast, but every day you need your sword with you. You know, you said, I have it with me in my heart. Right on, right on. Carry it with you in your heart because you're constantly in a battle on your job, in your car, wherever you're at. We have to still meditate on the Word of God night and day as we're practicing every moment of every day to live a life, a godly life. Amen? We're practicing to live a godly life. We want to be more like Christ. We want to set that example. We want to be good stewards of the Lord. So we have to practice what we preach. Amen? Amen. So again, let's go ahead and do our scripture, and then we'll follow with our prayer. Amen. 2 Timothy, starting with verse 3. It says, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, outlove, unforgiving, scandalous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women, who are loaded down with sin and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. But as Jannes and Jambres oppose Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds, who as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far, because as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone, but will not get very far, because their folly will be clear to everyone. Godlessness in the last days. Sisters and brothers, we have to live by faith in the last days. Godliness in the last days is all around us. We need our faith. You may say, what is faith? How do I get faith? We're just going to talk about it in our broadcast tonight. And, you know, before we get started, let's just go before the throne of God, because we definitely want to invite him and invite you, and as you invite others, to just come and just hear what the Lord said. God said the Lord. Amen? Amen. He is using you and I as vehicles to drive his word into someone's heart right now. Right up. Just bust up that situation that you think is hopeless. Here's your hope coming. He's driving right through to your heart right now. Shall we bow our heads and honor this God? He's so worthy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, my Father. You are so worthy. Thank you for your worthiness. We come to you, dear Father, with thanksgiving in our heart, and our heart is just speaking through our mouth as we invite you to come and just partake in this ministry, partake in the Word of God. Dear Father, we ask you to just bust open all of our negative situations, dear Father. Dear Father, and as you drive through our hearts and our minds, just sprinkle your love all over those situations that we find, dear Father, that is weighing us down. We find it has us going into depression. We find that it's having us making ourselves sick and coming up with all kind of different diseases because of the stress that we're under. We invite you, dear Father, to just take it all, covered with the blood of Jesus as no one else can. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us the power and the authority to stand boldly on your word, dear Father. We thank you, Jesus. And now I cancel out any sicknesses that the enemy has planned for any one of our sisters and brothers in the name of Jesus right now. I cancel out any loneliness that the ones that are weak, that are crying out in your name, believing for you to come and do what you do. I cancel out any ill moments or ill thoughts, dear Father, that has been trying to be planted in their mind. In the name of Jesus. And well, may I decrease in your ever-loving power, just control this ministry and every listening ear, dear Father. May it be removed from all the things that is negative, that has been heard today. And just replace the eardrums with sweetness of joy, of your love, and your direction. Your directions will lead them to righteousness. And we just say thank you in advance, dear Father. All around the world, I just thank you for all of the ones that just got too busy today, or for whatever reason, would not take out the time to thank you. I thank you on their behalf. I intercede for them, Jesus. And I intercede for all the ones that are faithless today. May be something said tonight that will build up their faith. Strengthen them where they're weak, dear Father. Build them up day by day. In Jesus' name we pray, and we await your love. We thank you for your filling, your power. You're right here, right now. And I thank you, dear Father, for accepting our invitation to be in our hearts forever and evermore. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Have you ever faced a problem in life and had someone tell you that you just need to have faith in God? You just need to have faith in God. Have you ever been there? You know, but maybe you didn't know what faith really was. I had something like that happen to me once. And I spoke to several people who have witnessed the same thing. They said, you just need to have faith in God. And maybe after they told you that you should have faith, sometimes maybe you even thought in your mind or even asked the question, I want to have faith. But really, what is it? What am I not doing? How do I find this faith? You know, you have to begin to talk through and listen to understand exactly what faith is. First of all, faith is trust. You know, it's a list of synonyms that we could use, but faith is trust. You may then ask, what's trust? I would answer and tell you that trust is reliance. You know, reliance. Well, you may ask me then, well, what is reliance, minister? And I would then answer and tell you that reliance is assurance. We're going to break it all down, but let's just get caught up. Make sure you're following me now. What is faith? Faith is trust. What is trust? Trust is reliance. What is reliance? Reliance is assurance. Thank you, Jesus. What is assurance? Assurance is confidence. Confidence. What confidence, you may say. And then you have to start over by saying that confidence is faith. Confidence is faith. Did you get that? You see, the whole conversation brings back memories of Abbott and Costello. There's a famous Who's on First comedy routine. I'm sure some of you, I'm aging myself, but I'm blessed for my age. So I don't mind aging myself. But it's a famous Who's on First comedy routine. And while I heard a lot of synonyms of faith, I was still never given a wonderful definition of faith. You see, synonyms are simply just different words that mean the same thing, right? Ms. Moore called us that in English class. But a definition is a precise statement of what something is. It deals with the act of making something known. That's what a definition does. So when you're in that conversation, the conversation reflects that person's, maybe for lack of a better word, ignorance of faith as much as it did you or me or any others. See, not only could you not tell me what faith actually was if you've never experienced it, but some people approach to different people, it's about that you just have no faith. You have no faith, so you need more faith. Like it was something just missing entirely, which only reinforced the insecurity of that person. Well, you know, I'm trying to do the right thing. And if you're telling me I need more faith, then it's something that I'm doing wrong. It's something that's not here. It's something that's missing. And for many times, it can just reinforce their insecurities that their faith was somehow lacking. I mean, yes, Scripture tells us. It says of believers, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's in Romans 12:3. Everyone who believes in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and everyone who has confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, doesn't need to get faith. They already have faith. So that's why I say it reflects on the person's ignorance of faith, even though it may be able with good intentions, when they say, you just need faith. You just need to have faith. Because if you believe in God, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and then you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you already have faith. So again, what is faith? Let's look at Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1 partly defines faith as a substance. Some meaning of the word substance are matter, real being, or something that exists by itself. Those are some of the meanings of the word substance. See, in other words, faith doesn't start to exist once you have it. It doesn't start to exist once you have it, but faith has a life and an existence all its own. Even before you receive it for your own, faith isn't something you do. Faith is not a verb. Although you can do something with faith, but rather, faith is a noun. It's a thing that lives outside from you, and it's also a thing that lives inside of you. Let's go a little farther, shall we? As we teach tonight, I want you to open your heart and really hear from the Word of God about faith. Look at this in a different aspect. Here's a more complete definition of Bible faith. Faith is an element of the nature of God. That's what Mark 11:22 says. It's an element of the nature of God. Now, the Greek literal also existed in the now. It's also existing in the now, right now. Hebrews 11 says, used in creation, being the substance of unseen and bringing material substance from the unseen, given as a gift, received with and integrated, related to the revelation of God's word. It said faith is energized by love, released with corresponding words and actions. Appearing like human trust or confidence, but capable of accomplishing eternal more than mere human trust could ever achieve in itself. So that faith can get you to a point that you have to look outside of yourself, yet faith is still inside of you. Because faith can accomplish eternally things more than you by your humanly self could ever imagine, could ever do. You can't work hard enough for it. First, faith is coexistence.
even before you start using it or working on using it or strengthening your faith. Faith was already there. Faith is that substance. Now, remember what I said earlier about the definition, okay? It deals with the act of making something known. However, if you could quote the above definition of faith, it doesn't mean that you know what faith is. But it does deal with the fact, the act of just making something known. But again, I reiterate, you could quote the definition of faith without knowing what faith is. At least not yet. Let me just explain what I mean. I was recently listening to a lecture of one of the big university was doing a course on cellular biology. And the professor stated that the course had many resources to help the students pass the course. As example, he cited the course lectures, the course notebook, the course textbooks, the lesson diagrams, the lesson exhibits, the PowerPoint presentations for the course, and all of which were also available online. He then went on to describe that he also kept office hours in which two or more students could get together and bring him specific questions related to the course. And finally, he said that there were organized study groups where the students could come together and discuss what they were learning. Now, again, this is a professor who is stating, making the statement about the course that he's going to be teaching about cellular biology. Now, what came next kind of surprised. To paraphrase him, he said, however, even if you use all these resources so that you can quote to me verbatim everything that is in the lecture, everything that is in the notebooks, in the textbooks, et cetera, you will not pass this course. Even if you can use all of these resources and quote them back to me verbatim, you will not pass this course. You will fail. For example, if you can quote to me the definition of a protoplasm from the textbook, you will not pass the exam problem on protoplasm. And the reason is because you did not tell me what you know about protoplasm. You simply quoted what the author of the textbook knew about protoplasm. Are you following with me? And he continued in his lecture as he was saying, now, if you can reasonably paraphrase in your own words what protoplasm is, then you will pass the exam problem on protoplasm. But barely, he added. See, maybe you'll get a D. But what he spoke next floored me. However, he said, if you can take what you know about protoplasm and use it to solve the protoplasm problem on the exam, then and only then will you pass that portion of the exam. And you will pass it with flying colors because you will be able to take what you know and use it to solve the problem. Then you will pass with flying colors. See, that is the truth. That's the same truth that goes along with faith. As he even added, you could use that same solution for the whole course and pass with flying colors. In other words, my sisters and brothers, as we teach tonight and learn tonight, it says that you don't really know something until you can use that knowledge to solve a problem. Amen? And, you know, I began to think, I want everyone in the world, everyone in the church to be like the students in that cellular biology course. I don't want them to just be able to quote me or quote something else, who someone else who teaches on faith. No, but I want them to know for themselves the substance. I want them to know for themselves the power of faith. I want them to use it to solve problems in your own life. Amen? You know, Reverend Kenneth Hagin used to tell a story about a couple who came to him and said, you know, we read all your books, we listened to all your tapes, you know, we've done everything that you said, and none of it worked. And Brother Hagin went on to say that something like this actually happened to him several times. And he said to this couple the same thing that he had told all the others who had come to him, the same with the same problem. He said, yeah, it's not going to work next time either. See, it won't work because you didn't make the words your own. You did what I said. Yes, what you read in the book and what you heard me say on the tapes was true. But you were just taking my word for it. So you were acting on what I said. But what you need to do is to act on what God says. Know for yourself that what God's word says, and then make it your own. Then it would work for you. Then it would work for you. You've got to go on what God's word says, and then make it your own. Take his word to fix the problem. You will be able to testify of yourself, what it is, and how God's word has fixed your problem, your situation. You see, explaining the importance of knowing your own self, what God's word says about faith. You know? Religion is based on traditions of other people who have faith. You know, that's why religion, somebody else who had faith, and it's just they based the religion up on the tradition. You just follow it. This is what grandma did. This is what the deacon over here did. They sat like this. They shouted at this point in the service. They sang at this point. They did that, but that's just a religion. When you're trying to go deeper than that, you can't live off of the faith of other people. It's got to get personal. So why travel that dead-end road of religion when you have an interstate system of faith within you, within you? Anywhere you want to go. That'll take you anywhere you want to go. Oh, come on, I pray that God is getting your attention right now. As we teach, let's open our heart and open our ears. Let's make sure we're hearing the word of God. So how can you really know what faith is? We went through a lot of different definitions and synonyms and trying to just set a map out here for you. But let's get on the main road. And apply it deep to you now that you know some of the synonyms or some of the definitions that may fit around it, okay? As we continue, I remind you that you can reach out to me at walkwithmegod.com. Again, walkwithmegod@aol.com. I'll be more than happy to send any literature that you're in need of or do anything that this ministry can do to pray or help you in any way. Just let us know. I am your host, Minister Yvonne Dillness, and I come to you live from sunny San Antonio, Texas. All right, so let's just continue. Faith is the only way that you can really know what faith is. Let's say that again. Faith is the only way you can really know what faith is. Now, I know that might sound confusing, but stay with me. Stay with me. You have to see this. Faith is the only way you can truly know any of the things of God, including faith itself. Everyone is dependent on revelation knowledge. So you've got to have faith to even believe in the word of God to be true. You've got to have faith. You see, you don't know faith or anything else in God by observational knowledge. Knowledge deprived from observing something with the five physical senses. But you know, faith and all of the other things of God by revelation knowledge. See, knowledge deprived from what God reveals of himself in the scriptures. That's how you get your faith. The knowledge that from God that harmonizes with the scriptures. See, that's the definition of faith that I gave states, faith is received with and integrated, related to the revelation of God's word. That's in Romans 10, right? So when revelation knowledge regarding any subject comes to you, then faith comes for the subject related to that revelation knowledge. So therefore, to understand faith itself, we must go to the Word of God to learn about the subject of faith, and we must have biblical encounters with God to receive his knowledge on the subject. Then faith can come, even faith for faith itself. You know, the Bible says, by faith we understand. Hebrews 11 and 3. By faith we understand. So faith is not just how we know that the world was framed by the Word of God, but it's how we truly have knowledge of God and how we have knowledge of anything about God. That is the faith. You know, make a quality decision right now. Right now, you have to make a quality decision that you want to know what faith is for yourself. Not that you're just going to go by what someone else has told you about faith, how faith has worked in their life, how they had to have faith. Listen to the testimonies. That's awesome. That gets you started and built up. But you got to open up a book. You got to take out some time. You got to start reading the book. You got to open your heart and ask God. Just talk to him. Deliver me. Show me what it is. I have faith. You said, I know that I believe. I confess. And now I'm just looking for to use this faith that you have given me. You bestowed it upon me. It was always here once I received you. I want everything that God has for me that came with my salvation. When I confess that I have asked him to be Lord of my life, it's some things that came along with that. And I want to receive every one of those things. Every one of those, I don't want to be left without anything. All that God has for me, all of the knowledge, all of the revelation, I want it. I want to tap into those areas. Not just get a little sting and get a little a feeling here that, ooh, that felt good for the moment, but I want to learn how to apply them to my life. I want to know how to take what it is that I have learned, and not just quote it back verbatim, but I want to know how to use what it is that I've learned, what I've got, what I've gained, and learn how to put it to whatever problems that I have, that I need to have solved, that I need to pass through those dark areas. Those areas that are sunshiny, that for me to contain myself and stay on that pathway, I need to use this faith. I need to be able to use it to solve my problem. It may be for that promotion. It may be for the nervousness of getting up the nerve to even apply for that new position. It may be to be the, you know, it gets hard to be the man of the family, but to hold my ground, stand firm, and lead my family, even when I can't see the way. But I've got to stay in the Word, stay on my knees, to receive my education and how to go forward in faith, to even understand that my faith is going to be a leader. It leads me. I've got to look outside of myself and rely on the faith inside of myself. My faith surrounds me. My faith is a gift for me. And I want to learn how I am to use this. It's here. It's mine. It's not that I don't have faith. It's with me, outside of me and inside of me. Now, how do I grow on that? How do I learn how to use that faith to work on my situations? I got to stay in the Word. I got to look at the Word. I can't just buy up all the tapes and the books and read it all and listen to it all of what someone else did and how they walking through their faith. And so I take that and make it mine. I make it mine. And once I can make those words, my testimony, that's when it'll work for me. Until then, I'm just living off of somebody else's words of how they made it. I'm living off of somebody else's testimony, and it's not going to make a difference in my life. My issues will continue to grow, and I won't find them being solved because I don't have that. So I need everyone, we should all decide right now to make a quality decision that you're going to know what faith is for you. For you. Even though what I'm saying about faith is true and the definition of the faith that I gave you is right, you don't just take my word about faith. I want you to go to God's word and study faith. Meditate scriptures on faith. And then ask God for revelation knowledge on the subject. You know, as it's been said many times about faith, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Faith. By having faith, the elders obtained a good report. And if you don't know it, if you don't know what the it is, then you won't have it. But of course, I don't want to leave you hanging. Of course, the it is faith. The it is faith. Amen? Amen. Let's continue to go a little deeper tomorrow as we expand our vision and just go a little farther into faith, working our way in more of a deep relationship. And again, we're trying to move from so much of the religious aspect into introducing you to a relationship. Amen? You know, are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready to meet Jesus? We know not the day, the time, or the hour, but we do know that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. You know, my friends, Jesus Christ is risen, and he's alive and he's doing well. And when he rose from the dead, he conquered hell, death, and the grave. And he did it all for you. You said, not me. Yes, for you. And you said, but why? Why would he do that for me? He did it because he loves you. And he wants you to spend eternity with him. He wants you to live an abundant life filled with peace, filled with joy, filled with love and patience and gentleness and goodness and faith and temperance and every other good thing that comes from the Spirit of God. He wants that for you. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for you. Because what you have ever felt that you love anything, whatever ever in life that you have ever said, you know what, I think I love this. I love this person. You're able to feel that because he's gave you that. He's gave you that love. You know, right in the deepest of your most when you think it just can't get any more wonderful, this is everything, the birds are chirping, everything is going great in my life. I love this film. I love this. I love that. I will protect this with my life. That's the same way, God. You just can't even imagine. It's unmeasurable, the unconditional love that he has for you and I. He loves you. He did everything he did. He shed his blood for you to cover your sins because he wants you to spend eternity with him. And if you don't know that if you died right now that you would be in his presence to enjoy the gift that he's already given to you, just open your heart and repeat after me. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I would just like to take this opportunity to introduce you to the greatest friend that you ever have. Just simply open up your heart and let these words be your guide. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you were sent by the Father to die on the cross for me. And Jesus, I just want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, congratulations, you are a new creature in Christ. You are a new creature in Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, you just took your first step in God's plan for a resurrected and victorious life in him. The first step. And if you pray this prayer, it's important that you tell someone. You can reach me at walkwithmeguide@aol.com. I'd be more than happy to pray with you. And let's find your church home in your area. It's very important to get in a Bible teaching church. Just because it says church doesn't mean that they're teaching the Word of God. Amen? To get in a Bible teaching church. And I also like to help you with anything that you need. I can send you out any biblical materials that you need. Any resources that will help you on your walk with God, this is what the ministry is here to do. Just let us know. And remember, as we come to a close tonight, I am your host, Evangelist Yvonne Gilman, and I truly love each and every one that comes in and your cards and your prayers, and I really enjoy hearing from you. We are sisters and brothers of Christ. Wherever you're at, it really cheers my heart up. But the most important thing is to remember is that Jesus loves you. And he wants the very best for your life. I'm praying for you. Until the next broadcast, you have a good night. We'll see you again tomorrow. God loves you. Amen. Good night.